Jesus Christ with a program based upon what the Bible teaches. Before we get into the series again today of Christian Living, let's go to our Heavenly Father in a word of prayer. If you care to join us, feel free to do so. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we come into thy great presence, thankful for the blessings of life, realizing that you send your rain upon the just and upon the unjust. Your blessings come down in a physical way to those who are out of Christ as well as in Christ. We understand that spiritual blessings come to those who are in Christ Jesus. We're thankful, Father, for the fruitful seasons of the bountiful harvest. We're glad for the marvelous grace that's extended to all. We're thankful for the brethren who make this broadcast possible, Father. May they continue to sound forth thy truth, that men may hear the word, believe it, and obey it. Be with those who are in Christ Jesus, and be with those who are away from the Lord today. They may be listening who are on the bleak mountains of sin. We trust that this marvelous teaching may be a benefit to them as well. We ask you, Father, to be with the sick. Also be with those who mourn the loss of loved ones. And be with the rulers of the world, including the rulers of our nation. May men all realize, as they look to thy word, and find therein the solution to many problems of life. May our peace be with thee, that we may see clearly to live at peace with our fellow man. Be with us then in this broadcast today and on through life. This we humbly ask in Jesus' name, and amen. You know, there are some parts of the Bible that just seem to blossom out in great beauty. And the Christian life is, of course, as beautiful a life as we could possibly experience. You know, you think of the little child being born into this world, and when I go to a hospital, to a maternity ward, and look through the glass, or see the baby in a bassinet, wherever it might be, there's two things I especially look at from the physical standpoint regarding that little child. It's the ear and the little finger. And I think of how God has so perfectly formed that little body, how it's been possible for that child to be whole, and what greatness there is of love in our hearts when we see that child emerging here upon the scene, not knowing all the things of life, but realizing that you care and that you've given a plan that will help that child to grow and develop, not alone physically, but also even more so spiritually. And then we look at the scripture and we see how beautiful it is to find that Christian life being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Peter said that in 1 Peter, the first chapter. Now, Paul's talking about the Christian life here, and from the famous third chapter of Philippians, we're going to be looking at life's greatest knowledge. What do you consider to be the greatest knowledge that one could have? Listen to Paul here. He talks about his past life in connection with his present life as a Christian. Verse 8 of the third chapter of Philippians begins this way, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ." And then listen to verse 9, "And be found in him not having mine own righteousness," and his own righteousness was of the law of Moses, "but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Then the 10th verse is beauty. "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." You see, here's a man who realized his past life in the eyes of many people had been fruitful. In fact, if you look at the life of Saul of Tarsus, you'll find that he was above the equals of his age. He would have been a modern-day Moses for Judaism if he'd have continued on following that course. But now he looks at the law of Moses, and he has compassion for people who are still living under that. We have compassion for people today who are still living under that, and people who are living in sin today. But Paul says that past life, with all the things that could be said about it, he simply refers to it as the off-scouring of the body. Now, this doesn't convey the idea that there wasn't anything good in that life, but it does convey the idea, comparatively speaking, he counts it as the off-scouring of the body that he might win Christ. And the knowledge that he wants is the knowledge of Jesus, not his own knowledge. You know, we look about us in the world today, and I'm not panning the idea of scientific advancement. I'm not panning the idea of people being well-educated. I believe, as an old teacher told me one time in school, she said, "I believe that everybody ought to be educated their sailing." We're not panning that at all. But a lot of times people, in the knowledge that they gain in the world, I know it's thrilling to them. It's outstanding to them. They realize here's something that they've gained. Here's an accomplishment for them. But this knowledge of the world compared to the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, well, it's just like the Apostle Paul said. It's just like something that we cast aside, like an old cloak. Now, this thing can be a benefit to us, but let's realize that it is not the genuine or the most important thing in life. To know about the human body, to know about life, to know about things in life that perhaps a lot of people don't know, can be looked upon as being outstanding, but so many times this causes one to be lifted up in pride, with pride. The person realizes that he or she knows more about this subject, probably, than most people in the world, and they lecture on it, and they talk about it, and they uphold it, and it becomes a very religion with many people. You know, someone said to me not too long ago, they said, people have religion. And I said, yes, there's a lot of religions in the world. In fact, I would even consider, in the light of the way some people act, that atheism is a religion. Well, someone says, I don't think it's a religion. Well, you see, people can be devoted to belief in that. People can be devoted to belief in themselves to the extent that they would think that everything else is secondary. I've talked to people that they had their minds centered upon one thing. Maybe it was their job, maybe it was some accomplishment, maybe it was a hobby, and they went head over heels in this thing. It became a religion with them. What's the circumstance? The circumstance is simply this, friends, that is inferior to the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Let me give you an illustration of what I mean by this. Now, some people may not believe in the resurrection of the dead. You may be listening to your broadcast this morning, and maybe there's a doubt in your mind about it. But I want to tell you, the Bible teaches there will be a resurrection. And when that resurrection is brought about, all these things that we have in this world, all this knowledge, now that can be a benefit to us in this life to actually let us know that there's a God. Let me give you an illustration. When David looked up at the planets in the heavens, let's say at night or in the daytime or whenever he looked at them, he was not interested in whether he was going to get on the moon or not. Now you say, how do you know? Well, what did he say about that? He said, the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork. In other words, the works of man that they've been able to do in this life should indicate, well, God has made it possible for me to do this, for me to accomplish this. You see, people a lot of times apparently leave God out of the picture, but he's made it possible for you to have that, for you to gain that knowledge. And yet, you see, all that's going to perish with using. It can be beneficial to people to a certain point in life, but the most important thing is the soul. So when Paul says in verse 9, I want to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, but he says, that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. To know about God, to know his righteousness, to know his plan, to know the point that he has in mind for our life, is far more important than all the physical gains in life. You know, here's something I want you parents to think about. And I know this because I've been a parent, and I'm looking back at it. I'm looking at life. You're looking at life. But so many times, the one concern, it would seem, that parents have for their children is that they make it good in the physical world, that they have a better life physically than the parents had. Now, that looks as though it's commendable. But you know, when you really begin to analyze this thing, if we spend all our time in putting all our eggs in the basket, in saying that we're going to make enough money, we're going to have enough prestige, we're going to have it easy in life eventually, we're going to live on easy street, so to speak, And this is the criteria, this is the standard that causes people to think, well, this makes me a success. You know, that's selling God's plan short. Now, encourage your children to do what they can with their life. But as you do that, remember that seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness is vital. So your children can grow up without a knowledge of what God is, without a knowledge of His Word. They may advance to the place where they'd be the head of a corporation. They might advance to the place of where they would be very wealthy, independently rich. But these people can be pitifully poor if they're not prepared for something beyond this life. Look about you in the world today, everything you can see. Your house, your automobile, your job, the town where you live, all the physical buildings, all the surroundings, those things someday will pass away. Now, we've got to know about them in this life. But we should know above that about Jesus Christ. So here's one of the most refreshing thoughts I think we have in Christian living. Paul doesn't want to be recognized as one who simply has his own righteousness, his own idea in life, but he seeks forth a knowledge of God, of His power, and of His resurrection. And I'm pleading with you on the broadcast this morning that you put that first in your life. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All the other things will be added unto you. No, we're not saying you can't be a scientist. We're not saying you couldn't advance to the head of a corporation. We're not saying you couldn't be the president of the United States. We're not saying you couldn't advance in a physical way in this world. But when you do that, know something about God. When I say know something about Him, don't just say, well, I believe there's a higher power. Don't just say, well, I believe there's a God. But come by Jesus Christ. No man comes to the Father but by me, Jesus said in John 14:6. And I want to say to you that to know Jesus Christ, to know who He is, to know what He stands for, to know His teaching, to know how to live the life that He has in mind is the greatest knowledge that we can possibly have. You know, when Peter was talking about those wonderful graces, as people call them, in the first chapter, 2 Peter. We talked about it last week. After he said, add to your faith, virtue, and all the rest of them up to knowledge, he then said, if these things be in you and abound, they're going to make you that you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then you take that knowledge and you use it properly apply it, and it becomes wisdom. And I want to tell you, friends, just like Paul said to Timotheus, he said, you know, this wisdom I'm talking about is vital. But he talked about the truth of God's Word. He said, you let that, in other words, you preach the Word, you be instant in season, out of season, you reprove, you rebuke, you exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, you do the work of an evangelist, you make full proof of your ministry. Whatever your talents are, Timothy, don't forget this. Then he wrote to Titus, and he said to Titus in the second chapter, and in verse 11 he said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation appeared unto all men. And then he said in verse 12, teaching us to deny ourselves of ungodliness and worldly lusts, and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking forward to that time when Christ is coming. So I wonder how great this knowledge is in your life. You know a lot of things about a lot of things. Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know the power He has? Do you know the power of the resurrection? We leave this with you. This is vital to Christian living. We're talking about the must things in your life. I'm going to have to leave you on the broadcast today. Be in the house of the Lord. Your friend and neighbors of the Church of Christ invite you, and we invite you not alone to be in the house of the Lord, but also to be with us next time as we deal once again, incidentally, with our final lesson in this series, of Christian living.